In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I don't know what it is about movie stars or professional athletes or musicians that fascinates us, but many of us will spend our hard-earned money, sometimes perhaps more than we should, to watch athletes compete in professional sporting events, to go to a concert, or even to go to the latest Tom Cruise movie. And I'm willing to bet that if most of us ever found ourselves near one of these celebrities, we wouldn't turn down an autograph, or better yet, a chance to reach out and shake that person's hand. One summer when I was in college, I took a trip to New York City with some of my friends, and we had a chance to watch a few Broadway shows. And like most college students, we didn't have very much money, so we ended up buying the half-price seats, the standing-only room seats in the very back of the theater. And I'll never forget this two-man show starring John C. Reilly and Philip Seymour Hoffman. After we took our standing positions behind the last seat of rows, we kept overhearing the ushers excitingly talking about this special celebrity who is going to be in the audience that night. And just as the lights began to dim and the show was about to start, in walks Sean Connery, Mr. James Bond himself, and he proceeds to sit down in the seat directly in front of me. And I have to admit that I spent most of that play not watching these two brilliant actors on the stage, but staring down at the top of Sean Connery's head, resisting the urge to reach out and just gently touch it. At the end of the show, when the lights came back up, Connery's bodyguards quickly rushed to his side and began to escort him out the back of the theater. And as he walked by me, there was a young man next to me who stood in front of him and said, "Mr. Connery, Mr. Connery, I am your biggest fan. And I told my mom that if I ever saw you, I would give you a big hug." And as he reached out to embrace him, Connery's bodyguard slammed him against the wall, and Connery made his exit. Now, this young man's need to reach out and hug Sean Connery may not have been the wisest decision, but there's something deep inside us that desires to reach out and connect with others, isn't there? Whether it's a handshake, a pat on the back, or a big hug. When I was growing up, AT&T had this very clever commercial, a series of commercials, and this commercial is still ingrained in my head today. Maybe you remember it. Reach out and touch someone. In other words, pick up the phone and call someone. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know you miss them, that you care about them, that you love them. I think AT&T's slogan would have been a good motto for Jesus. After all, throughout the Gospels, when Jesus heals someone, most of the time he does it by reaching out and touching that person. He even goes as far as reaching out and touching people whom good Jews were not supposed to touch. The lepers, the blind, the deaf, the sick, and even the dead. Over and over again, Jesus shows God's love by reaching out and touching the untouchables. Today, psychologists tell us that physical touch is actually fundamental to our health. Over the years, many studies have been done on the effect of physical touch and its ability to lower our blood pressure, to relieve pain, and even to boost our immune systems. In fact, there was one study done at UCLA which claimed people who received meaningful touch at least 10 times a day actually live longer lives than those who don't. I heard about a family counselor who was sharing the results of this study with his marriage seminar when he looked out into the audience and saw this guy reach over and touch his wife and begin to count. One, two, three. as we know, that's not the way it works. That's not actually meaningful touch. On the other hand, psychologists have also discovered what happens when we fail to receive this meaningful touch. In the 1980s, numerous orphanages in Romania were found to be extremely overcrowded and underfunded. And unfortunately, many of these children ended up being isolated, often receiving no human contact. In fact, almost no meaningful touch at all. Tragically, due to the lack of physical touch and human interaction, many of these children could not relate to others. They couldn't give or receive affection. They could not even speak. Although they had grown into these physical creatures, sadly, they failed to grow into human persons. In today's gospel lesson, we hear about a woman who has also spent years in isolation. Mark tells us that this poor woman has been suffering from internal bleeding for 12 long, miserable years. And not only did she have to deal with this horrible illness, but it also made her ritually unclean, forcing her to spend the last 12 years of her life as an outcast, separated from her friends, from her family, and from her community. No one has held her. No one has kissed her. No one has come close to her in years. In fact, when people see her coming, they take a step back, fearful that she might just brush up against them, making them ritually unclean as well. But as we hear in today's gospel, this unclean, lonely, desperate woman breaks all the rules by pushing her way through the busy crowd, deliberately reaching out and touching the very last person she should have touched, a man, a rabbi, a popular religious figure named Jesus. And when she touches the hem of his cloak, Mark tells us that she is immediately healed. But Jesus' reaction to this woman's bold move is even more surprising, isn't it? Jesus stops in his tracks and publicly calls her out, turning to his disciples and asking, "Who touched my clothes?" Meanwhile, his disciples, who are usually portrayed as this group of dim-witted, bumbling guys who just don't seem to get it, turn to their master as if this time he's the one who doesn't seem to get it. "Look around, Jesus. Who hasn't touched you?" And as they're trying to figure things out, this woman comes out of the large crowd and falls at Jesus' feet, fully expecting to receive her punishment for breaking the law. But instead, Jesus responds by doing something very interesting. The woman has already been healed from her illness after touching his cloak. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. Instead, he wants to deliver this woman from her isolation as well. So very publicly, in front of that large crowd, in front of her family and friends and community, Jesus addresses this unclean woman as daughter. In other words, he doesn't just heal this woman. He gives her a brand new identity. No longer will she be known as the unclean, bleeding woman, but as daughter, as a beloved child of God. In her book, The Whisper Test, author Marianne Bird describes a very powerful moment in her childhood. This is what she writes. "I grew up knowing I was different. I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. When I started school, my classmates made it very clear how I looked to others. Little girl, misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than been born different. I was convinced nobody outside my family could love me. But then there was a teacher in the second grade who we all loved, Miss Leonard. Every year we had a hearing test. Miss Leonard gave the test to everybody in the class. Finally, it was my turn. I knew from past years, as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper, and we'd have to repeat it back. Something like, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" I waited there for the words. God must have put in her mouth those 7 words that changed my life. Miss Leonard did not say, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" What she whispered was, "I wish you were my little girl." The gospel, the good news found in today's story of the bleeding woman, is that through Jesus, God reaches out to us and touches us, whispering, "You are my little children." Today, may we remember and embrace this good news of who we really are. And the next time we come across someone who is hurting, someone who's going through a difficult time, someone who society has overlooked, with God's grace, may we reach out through a handshake, through a pat on the back, or even a hug, reminding them that no matter what happens, no matter where they go in life, no matter what they may do or what has been done to them, God whispers, "You are my child, and I love you." Amen.